You're asking the wrong question. This man was born blind so that the power of God could be displayed in his life. The Savior then anointed the man's eyes with mud, which he was to wash away in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Later in John chapter 11, we read of two sisters, Mary and Martha, who sent Christ an urgent message regarding their brother Lazarus, who was dying. "Come quickly," they said. "He whom you love is sick." But Jesus tarried till Lazarus passed away. The sisters said reprovingly, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." Jesus saw things differently. He explained, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Then he raised Lazarus from death to life, to the glory of God. Shortly afterward, in John chapter 12, Jesus arrived in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. His time was short. By the end of the week, he would be hanging on the cross. As he rode his little colt into the city, a spontaneous parade developed. Ecstatic crowds cheered him like a conquering hero, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" But Jesus didn't share their exuberance, for he foresaw his suffering. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say?" he cried. "Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." John chapter 12, verses 27 through 28. In other words, at the onset of the most excruciating week of his life, Jesus asked not, "How can I get out of this?" but, "How can God's name be glorified?" The Father's response is in verse 28, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." God doesn't waste suffering. If he leads us into impossible spots, he will deliver us in his own time, in his own way, and for his name's sake. Our job amid the difficulty is to learn our Lord's simple but submissive prayer. "What shall I say? Save me from this hour." "No, Father, glorify your name." That is, after all, what our lives are about. To him alone belongs the glory. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory," said the psalmist, Psalm 115, verse 1. The children of Israel didn't understand this, so they cried, "How did we get into this mess?" They should have been asking, "How will God gain glory through this situation?" The writer of Psalm 106 made this very point. "Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake," verses 7 through 8. How, then, did God take an impossible situation, flip it around, and use it for his honor? The story of parted waters shows us that God gains glory when his enemies are defeated, when his children are delivered, when his name is exalted, when his exploits are remembered, and when his praises are sounded. "God sometimes raises difficulties in the way of his people," said Matthew Henry, "that he may have the glory of subduing them and helping his people over them." The Lord devises ways of turning difficulties into deliverances.